the regular session to order. And we have, in the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. Honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years. We pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Start with roll call.
Councillor Morley Hoskin.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Dennis Ulock.
Councillor Mike Hackinen.
Clerk Administrator Ida Watkinson.
Greg Gossett, Director of Operations.
Deputy Clerk Carly Britton.
And Mayor David Moore. Are there any declarations of pecuniary under personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. We have Resolution 23-510, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Hoskin. Be it resolved, Council of the Corporation Township of Keller does hereby reconvene into regular open session of Council at 6:35 p.m. Call a question. All those in favor? Not opposed. Carried. Resolution 23-634, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation, Township of Keller, does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held August 1st, 2023. All question, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. Resolution 23-511, for accepting the closed session reports. Okay, for our delegations presentations, we have Don Sneed, Fire Route 160 right away. Again, it's a microphone. It's working. You speak
yes,
into
yes.
it.
You hear me all right?
Yeah, now we remind last time we went a little over.
A little?
About an hour. So you have 10-minute deputation today.
Well, as long as it's 10 minutes that I use and that you don't use 10.
That's fine. Yes.
That'd be 20. All right, I attended here on the 18th of July, and at that time we had some good discussions. We reviewed the history of Fire Route 160 as it pertains to the golf course. And at that time, I think it was you, Mr. Mayor, who requested that you have a little bit of time. That night, I worked with Carly, and I supplied her with data that she didn't have, although she did have quite a bit of it. The two main documents, sorry, was that something I dropped?
No, that's me. It's okay. Apologies.
The two main documents that were involved, of course, were the age zoning put on by council, protecting us in that existing bylaw. And I assume that you have now gotten those and have had time to read through them. Would that be correct?
Yes.
So you did review everything and you saw those documents?
Yes.
Both the addition and the removal? Okay. There's been a lot going on since then, and the reason I qualified the 10 minutes that you might need, could you give an explanation of the document that's in the agenda package that came from Mr. Valentine's lawyer and how it affects this topic?
Well, we're actually dealing with that later in the agenda. There is a resolution to deal with that particular, the transfer of the easement. That particular letter that was sent was actually incorrect, and we will be discussing, talking to that in some detail, because we're not a consent-granting authority. We're a commenting agency. So whatever the lawyer has asked us to do there, you'll see the resolution when it comes forward. It's going to be worded such to the effect that we have no objection to, rather than we consent to, because we can't consent to. That's the planning board.
Right. At the time, there was also some question at who had created the document.
No, that's the consent agreement is totally different. This is just to have no objection to the transfer of the easement from the old easement to the new one that you're using now. Nothing to do with the consent agreement. That was totally separate, and we can talk to that later.
All right, except for one problem, if you would. I'm here and I'm on the docket now, and I have to travel back to the city tonight, and I don't know how long down the docket that will be. Is that sometime after I speak now?
It's on the agenda. What number is it?
Is there any reason why we can't address that while I'm here and I can get on my way?
It's possible.
I would appreciate it if you make that change in the agenda.
Yeah. 15.3?
Mm-hmm.
At the top of my page was to say thank you also for hearing, Nick, I think it was your first time. Marley, your support was more or less pledged, I think, as well, and some of the others at the table said the same. We want to bring this to a head. So am I hearing you right, Mr. Mayor, that you now will approve that and send it back to the planning board?
Not that we'll approve it. We have no objection to it.
Okay.
We can't approve because we don't have consenting authority.
And do you have a copy of that consent agreement that I could view?
It's not a consent agreement. It's just what's in the letter that you saw what the lawyer had written.
Right.
That he hasn't sent. And he's confused because he says he'll send us the transfers to sign. We won't be signing anything. It's up to the planning board to do that.
Right,
to do
so
that.
You will move second and approve that
well, know. I can't predict what the council will do, but...
No, but assuming that you've already said that you have no objection to it, that you will carry that on and we will then have clearance from the township to proceed. Is that what it would come about?
And I would assume what would happen then would be another application from the Ridge or through that solicitor to the planning board to straighten all that out. And that we were just a commenting agency, that's all.
So you saw the original filing of the application to the planning board and had most of the conditions that were talked about. He only talked about one. Are you not concerned about the others, or do you have any knowledge of the other things that were conditional?
Well, we have a resolution that we referenced from previous council in 2021. And again, we haven't discussed this at the council table yet. We can maybe move that forward too. I don't know how many things we can move forward. But there they said too, there's only so much of authority you have, so much mandate in that resolution, and we can give you a copy of that resolution of 2021. And
I have that probably, but I want to know what you are saying that you have no objection to. I have actually three copies of different consent agreements. So
okay, it's not a consent agreement. Let's be clear on that. I have no objection to is what's in the lawyer's letter, saying that the transfer of the easement, the old easement that used to be there from 53, is now transferred over to the new easement, and that I guess the next step you'll be taking too is that you signed on as have title to that new easement, which I think you were requesting.
Correct.
But in order to do that, you have to quit claim the title to the old easement. And that'll be something that they'll be discussing with you. Not through the council.
Well, when you say you mean the parties there on
yeah, you're representing them, but
right.
Everybody
I understand that Mr. Valentine paid a visit and talked to council about what we're speaking to.
We had a closed session dealing with possible commercial development. That's all I can say, and that was all closed. So.
Well, Mr. Valentine explained it to me earlier today.
And he's not obligated under closed, council is.
I understand that. So you did have that meeting with him and certain things were clarified. I also understand that he paid the debts to the township. Is it fair to ask that?
I'm not aware.
Carly, could you comment on that?
Yes. Outstanding claiming fees that the township asked him
Did he pay the parkman fee as well?
I cannot confirm. I'm not sure. I don't believe
because
so.
Because that was one of the restrictive covenants in the original consent agreement. I know we're confusing the consent agreement with you having no objection, but if you have no objection, you're in fact blessing, in my opinion.
No, that may be your opinion, but we're not blessing the consent agreement. The one that we saw earlier, council had agreed that there's no way we would sign a consent agreement like that. We don't even know the origin of it.
So could you furnish me with a copy of that now so I can just see if it's one of the three that I've had in the past? I need that information. And then perhaps would you also visit the fact that we maybe have that discussion now while so we don't have to, I don't have to stay on the rest of the evening?
I'm not sure what you want to be furnished yet.
Well, you said that you had other business tonight concerning the road. Or did you not just say that a few minutes ago?
Well, that was dealing with, as I say, what was going to come up with the... and actually, we're going to be asking Director of Operations some questions, too. So that'll all be there. And if you can't stay, it's unfortunate. But people are set with the agenda the way it is. We can't move it all over the place to accommodate one person. So.
Well, you could. You're just saying that you won't.
Fine.
Well, we have people here.
Sure, I understand that. But is it a long-winded thing, or can we get through it?
You decide. Last time you said the same thing, that you had to leave.
Well, because I thought I was supposed to be here at 6, and I showed up, and I made other arrangements. So it was my mistake.
We're cutting into our time now.
Okay. All right. So So you did have a conversation with Valentine, and he's paid his debt.
I'm saying we had a closed meeting. If he talked to you and said that we did, then you listened to what he said.
Okay, I get that.
We can't control what he says to you, so
no,
if he told you.
I'll make that clear. Do we have the support of council in moving forward with this then? Is that fair to say? As the road owners, do I represent these 17 people on 7 properties?
That's all encompassing. What we'll do is move 15.3 if council's agreeable for as a resolution. We'll go from there after the deputation.
Okay, so I'll sit and wait for that. All right, so we'll go back to what we did then. You did get that documentation, you did read it, and you saw nothing there that you have any questions of me on? Because you had said to me last time I was here that you hadn't seen it or read it recently.
The consent agreement, I still have problems, and I think council does too, the origin of that consent agreement. We've never seen it before. So I don't know where it came from. You said it came from the township. There's no paper trail.
I would be somewhat concerned if the township, they use consent agreements.
Well, I know we do.
You passed one last week at the meeting, or the last time I was here, there was one that was.
I know we do, but as I said.
Is it not the same as the one that I'm dealing with?
Quite different.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm running into.
There are clauses.
Three copies. That's why I want to identify which one it is.
There are clauses in that consent agreement that we were provided with, township vehicles going on private property. We've never consented to that. So I don't know who made that consent agreement. I asked you if it was your solicitor, and you said no. So I don't know who made it.
It wasn't mine. It was Valentine's solicitor, you probably asked them. Did you ask Mr. Douglas?
Did I ask Mr. Douglas?
Yeah, he said you. So he didn't. I can testify to that.
Okay.
All right, so we know that he didn't. We know that Williams, I assume you're referring to as the other lawyer that you asked.
No, we didn't ask him.
Golden Law wasn't?
We didn't ask him.
Oh, okay.
We just looked at municipality, and there's nothing here that we can see.
Oh,
that.
That's really, all right.
It's interesting how it materialized, yes.
All right, well, with all of the developments that have gone on today and in the last week, I assume that the council is aware that there's some things going on at the golf course property that involve some changes.
Maybe you can fill us in.
Well, I don't think that's my job. I'm asking the question. Have you been approached by another developer that has put forward a proposal?
As I say, I can't speak to anything that was said in closed session, so that's...
Okay, so you had that closed session?
I did not say that. I said we had a closed session with somebody, and you can see in the minutes, for commercial development. That's all we did.
Okay, well, okay. Fair enough. Given that you have all those documents, and you now say that you have no objection, I think that, from what you're telling me, and again, I don't pretend to know all the laws and rules of this, that we have your support going forward, then we'll wait for that to be. I assume you're going to inform Valentine's lawyer that there's no objection.
We haven't voted on that.
There'll be a resolution shortly.
Oh, okay. All right. So, and I'll sit down, and I guess I'll have to wait till item 15. Because all the other stuff, based on what I know now from my meeting with Valentine today, that you can't discuss, it's a very different situation than we had a few days ago. And I assume because you had a closed session that you now are now aware of that. So I'll wait for this other discussion. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you. Does council have any questions of Mr. Sneed?
I hope you do. Okay, thank you for your time.
Thank you. We have a copy of the from resolution 2021. I had a copy. He should get a copy of that. This one here. You got it there? That looks like this.
21.
Yeah.
I don't know about the numbering that's on the top right, but
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, if we can hand that over to him.
Okay. Get a copy.
I'll come to the next one.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much.
So is council agreeable to move 15.3 canal?
Yes.
That's up your number.
That's okay.
Well, I'll still do it.
Okay, do that one first.
Yeah. Resolution 23-512, moved by Councilor Haskam, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received a deputation from Don Sneed in regards to Fire Route 160. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. So procedure, everybody aware, we have Resolution 23-513 moved by Councilor Haskam, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar has hereby amend the agenda by moving item number 15.3 to be heard in between items number 11 and 12. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-514, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Haskam. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive a letter from Oldham Law Firm dated July 27, 2023, regarding consent application B23/2021, and further, the Council has no objections to the transfers of easements to relocate the registered rights of way locally known as Fire Route 160 to the roadway that is in use. Discussion? Now, as we said with that, so what would happen, our understanding anyway is that we go back to the solicitor, we get a copy of this, and then he would realize that it has to go to the planning board for approval, so there would be another application to the planning board for that, which was started actually back in 2021, but was never completed. So I'd just be going through the same process again to get that done. Call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. The end of discussion, it's really in the solicitor's hands now to take it back to the planning board and go from there for the transfer of the easement, which you had said you wanted all along, that you want to make sure that you're on title to the new easement.
We do. Can I address council at this moment?
Sure, council.
I have a couple of questions just to clarify. So,
Michael. name, just so people are here on Zoom.
So this will go back now to the planning board and to the Perrytown Planning Board, and it will have no objections from council, which we now have done.
Right.
So I will assume that you've seen the document that covered that planning board meeting in 21 where they approved it, and it had certain conditions on it as well. And those have to be met, I assume, as part and parcel of your endorsement of it. You've read that and you are now approving it. You have no objection to any of that?
No.
I just want to be clear that you went through that and there's no objection.
No, we just want to be clear as well that we're agreeing to the transfer of the easement, that we have no objection to that.
Right.
But as far as the other conditions, that's beyond our mandate. So that's up to you, again, and the owner of the property, the private property.
Is the planner that was involved then, Mr. Jackson, still employed by the township?
No.
Speak with him?
He's the secretary treasurer, I guess, of the planning board.
Yeah. So that's it, I'm done. There's no other, nothing else on the document, anything tonight?
Well, hopefully this goes a long way because of the problems over the years with the registration on title, and hopefully that's resolved. And then anything that follows after, I guess keep us informed, but you saw the resolution that was done in 21,
right.
And we're pretty well at the same. There's only so many things we can do. There's so much that's ultra-various that's beyond our mandate.
Sure, I understand that. And my purpose on July 18th of being here was to review some of the documents, the primary one. And the reason that we are addressing council to get to this point, and I thank you all for unanimous support on it, was that in the original documentation back in 2002, the zoning was predicated on a clause in that pool. I forget what the legal terminology was that said that until that was completed, the H zoning wouldn't be lifted. That was never completed, and yet the H zoning was lifted. So that now should be in the rearview mirror, only in the event that this whole thing goes sideways, and then we would have to come back and revisit that with council. But that's not an item for tonight. I think I should just take what I've got here. Thank you so much for your support on that. Appreciate it from all of you.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for moving that up, too. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
resolution 23-515, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby moved into Committee of the Whole at 6:59 p.m. to discuss accepting tires at the transfer station with Director of Operations Greg Gostick. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. Okay, now Greg's going to need a microphone here. I'm sorry. Maybe just to start us off, I guess, I know we've talked about this before with the tire situation at the transfer station, and then I guess we were sort of, I'll use the word blindsided, by the notice that came out, no more acceptance as of August the 1st, which is today.
So, I don't know how much of a blindside that was, because the last time we had a meeting like this, it was well known that, in fact, in June, we're no longer going to be accepting tires.
Was it accepting tires, or was it just to remove the tires that were there?
Accepting tires.
But interesting.
We didn't have a date.
No.
We had no date.
It was, I think it was...
So, by the sounds of it, this council wants to extend it till possibly the end of the year.
No, that's the reason why we're here, to discuss it. We haven't made a decision yet, and we want to hear your side of it. So,
I'm just worried as of January 1st. Like, we all pay $5 a tire, Canadian Tire, or wherever you buy your tires, as a disposal fee. And after January 1st, it's possibly going to be on the township to pay another $175 a ton to get rid of these tires if AORS no longer accepts them. They say they're going to be still in business, but big changes are coming. And I don't know if, I'm just looking out for our bottom, you know, our dollar. So why would we want to extend it till January 1st? Just saying. And be stuck with these tires, and it costs us $175 a ton to get rid of them after that date. Why would we want to do that?
Councilor Kekkonen?
So you're referring to January 1st. How can we refer to January 1st? What is it that you're... What changes from what you're understanding?
Well, the recycling programs all take effect January 1st. The new recycling programs start to take effect January 1st. There's new contracts coming out for recycling. It all changes next year.
Like provincially?
Provincially.
Well, I don't know if that's accurate, because the Ontario Tire Stewardship Program ended January 1st, 2019. As well as the electronic stewardship ended January 1st, 2019. So we're a little bit, we're a couple of years behind of what's actually taking place legislatively.
Yep.
So, you know, if the legislation hasn't changed, though, and the legislation seems to indicate that even municipalities with less than 1,000 inhabitants, when they contact the... there's a whole framework, a legislative framework of who does what in regards to tires collection, and even a small municipality, within 1 year of them having, if they call and they have 200 tires, within 1 year legislatively they have to be picked up by a hauler. So I think what we really need to do is get a little further clarification on the legislation, who's responsible. It talks about producer responsible organizations, that there's about seven of them that organize pickups, and so it seems like there's several entities that are in control of what's taking place, and somehow we have an RPRA number. But the other pieces, I'm not sure how they've been followed through with.
Well, because the whole system is in ruins. So the whole recycling program is in ruins. Hence, January 1st, 2024, things change. Yeah, the whole program, tires, electronics, it all changes. What we're discussing here now is the tires. So why would we want to wait to the last moment, possible moment, to get rid of these tires?
Councilor Haskin?
Yep.
I think in the last discussions we had was just basically, it did seem to hit us suddenly, so like we were talking about, and I think I may have suggested that extend that date, and I was thinking to maybe take in the Thanksgiving long weekend and then end it, just to give people more time to clean up their backyards, you know, rather than throw them in the lake kind of thing, so and put out notice to the public.
Yeah. I have no, like, I'm not arguing the date. I just slapped that date out there because we had to make it happen. It was supposed to be done in June, as I thought we discussed the last meeting. But obviously, people never got, miss my cue. So I think we should, make it a different date, but have it in our minds it's going to end. Has to. Why are we, I don't know how it can possibly go any further. We're paying at the our local tire store to get rid of these tires, right? So far it's still free. But after next year, we could possibly still keep them, but are we going to be on the hook? Like Mike says, they'll clean us out for maybe 200 or 300 tires. But is that confirmed? You know what I mean, Mike?
Legislatively, it is. It's been enacted by the province. All of these, the RPRA and, the blue box recycling program, all of that is legislative. So with the blue box, that was supposed to take effect July 1st, 2023. But with the tires and electronic stewardship, that already moved on to the next phase of RPRA, January 1st, 2019. And in fact, at that point in time, the $5 per tire was not supposed to be charged for anyone purchasing tires any further, and that's in the documentation. So I think really what we need to do is contact those in the like the PROs and determine what they understand of the program and how can they ensure that even the legislation indicates that small municipality have, from the time they call for pickup to the time they're picked up, 200 tires minimum is the number, is 1 year. So PROs would probably know where things stand, and just if we have confirmation from that entity that the tires will continue to be picked up, I think that's what we need to base any future decision on, is how the whole program is laid out now and how it's going to be structured in the future.
And my concern on a lot of this too, the other townships, we did have a brief survey done there. Which other ones are getting out of it? Which ones are still accepting them? What are their long-range plans? What you're suggesting, some are still accepting them in the area. So are they getting out too by this year? Or?
It's a wait-and-see attitude too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want a situation, certainly, where the other ones all closed down and we're left here and people from other townships say, well, that looks good, and we'll pick up a transfer sticker or a ticket, whatever, and just go in with all my tires.
Yeah, I was just worried about us coming January 1st.
Right.
Or, it doesn't matter, if it's June 1st of next year. Okay. Yes, legislatively, they say that we'll get pickup. Things change. This whole program has already changed. We used to get money for our tires. We don't get money anymore. So everything changes. 2026 is another big year. There's big changes coming in 2026 again. So I just don't know how far we want to volley this ball back and forth. We can. I have no issues keeping them until a later date. It's just at $175 ton minimum. Are we going to be on the hook for that? It doesn't take very many tires to add up to a ton.
Councilor Kagan?
So in that case, since Ontario Tire Stewardship ended January 1st, 2019, and so did the electronics recycling, are we going to stop taking the electronics recycling at the transfer station as well?
We have to find that out.
See, if we can continue to provide these services to our residents at no charge, then and the structure that's in place will allow for that, then I think that that's a service we can see that is being used and appreciated by our residents and needs to continue going forward if we can do it according to, you know, how it's structured. And secondly, if we've had two different companies pick up our scrap metal in the past, the current one and All Ontario Recycling. At some point in time, would we be reviewing and putting out sort of an RFP for the scrap metal recycling? Because there is quite a difference in what we received previously. I know scrap metal prices fluctuate, but still, when you look through the budget and see what we received previously, it was significantly higher than, and scrap prices have been good for the last couple of years, so significantly higher than we're receiving now. The point being that both of those companies that have hauled our scrap metal are tire stewardship registered collection sites. To set up an agreement with them that when they haul out the scrap metal, that part of the deal is that they take we throw in whatever tires they're at that time, 10 tires go out when the scrap metal bin goes out. Because they're already coming and collecting the bin, it wouldn't be a special trip, and we'd be able to move those tires on a regular basis. So just something for consideration.
Yeah, just, again, you'd have to check with those haulers, I guess. Would they accept tires just as a loss leader sort of thing? Their money comes from the metal, of course. Are they getting anything out of the tires at all, or is it just a service that they're... And would they agree to something like that? They might say that now my bin's getting filled up with tires and I'm not getting anything out of it.
Well, then they got to sort them.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, is there maybe a problem with that, too?
It's a big problem. The whole thing's a big problem. And we just got to roll the punches, but I just don't want to see us caught, that's all.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate, like you say, services we're providing to the people. If we said we've cut out construction materials in the past, I mean, that was a big thing for people to bring in, and we just said, no, you can't do it anymore. And so they have to go to McDougall now. Now, if we do tires, if we do the electronics, as you said, at some point, because the program stops, and we have to start paying to have them hauled, and the scrap metal, the same sort of thing. We're fortunate that we still have a transfer station, of course. They closed down the landfill site, but they allowed us to do that. I'm just wondering, at what point do we provide these services to the public, and at what cost? So that's what we have to consider. Councilor Cutter?
With the ending of the Ontario Tire Stewardship and the electronics recycling, prior to that, we would get a very small amount for tires each year, where it was about $200 revenue generated in the budget in tires, and electronics, I believe, was around $2,000. So we no longer receive any money for tires, but if we can provide that service for free, that's fine. Same with the electronics. I don't believe we received anything in the last year or two for electronics, but it's not costing us anything. A recycler is coming and picking up the bin. So if we can continue those services, then
yeah,
I think that...
That's fine. Like, as long as this council is understanding that there could be charges down the road, but like fees for taking away, and as long as we have that in the... you know, in the back of our mind that one day it could end, then that's what we're paying. And if there's 500 tires here, then that's a lot of money.
Councilor Zulak.
So, Greg, they came and they took some tires, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I see there's quite a few more have shown up. Now, did they say when they'd come get the remaining tires?
Yeah, within a month.
Within a month?
Yeah.
So has anybody even checked? You said that it's hard to get somebody to come and get the tires now. You have two?
I have two, yeah.
Okay, have you checked the northern? Because apparently there's like Perry and Macar and...
what they're doing? I haven't talked to them, no.
They still are collecting tires, and they have someone coming and getting it. Maybe you can connect mm-hmm. with them and find out, because they said, yeah, they still... are getting their tires picked up. Kearney, you know.
Well, we still get ours picked up too.
Yeah, and
yeah.
They said they don't pay anything.
No.
Yeah.
We don't pay either.
No, but could somebody maybe check with them? Because I know in September we're having that municipal meeting, Carly, and we were going to try and have them come and speak on the tire issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in September. So maybe.
I think it would be interesting, even if Greg reached out to those people, are mm-hmm. they aware of the legislation that's coming?
Yeah.
Maybe their plans are going to have to change too.
See, everybody got changed around, so they might not be till the end of next year.
Right.
You know, like we got switched from 2023 to 2024.
That's the Blue Box recycling program. Mm-hmm. The Tire Stewardship and Electronics, that was a completely different program that shifted around in 2019. So that was the first. That was the first streams, tire stewardship and electronics, that shifted to full RPRA responsibility as of January 1st, 2019. So tires and electronics already have shifted onto what the Blue Box program is now shifting into, and as he's indicated, the date has been shifted because negotiations you know, we're still going on in regards to the Blue Box program. I think we need to do maybe a little more research and determine, even though we're not receiving any more money, to ensure that the haulers and the producers and those that are working now directly with the producers under full responsibility, to determine how the legislation is laid out, that they are still getting paid some type of because if there's no money on that end of things, well, then there would be a, you know, a major concern. So it's just to ensure to see that part of how things are working, and then as well the penalty part of it. You know, the legislation says this, but where is the penalties in regards to enforcement? If the requirement, it's quite stringent of how much the producers have to reclaim every year compared to what they're selling. So how does the enforcement side of that work? I think there's still a little bit of room here before anything, you know, it doesn't seem like there's a real, because there are other collection sites around. If you look at the RPRA collection sites for tires, there are quite a few in the Parry Sound area, mostly all in Parry Sound. But they're still collecting tires. So how, you know, they're not concerned.
They're,
you know,
they're getting paid $5 a tire to collect those tires.
Well, you know, that the $5 that you pay for, no one should be paying the $5.
No,
anymore.
I'm just saying there shouldn't be any more. But if you go, it's on your bill.
I know it shouldn't be on there because I've read in the.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Mike. And I don't disagree with it one bit. I was just looking out for us.
Yeah. And the other thing was that if we needed to haul to get rid of the tires, we can bring it to one of those collection sites. We can haul them to Canadian Tire, Adams Brothers, no charge. So it's not going to cost us $110 a ton. It's going to cost us the staff time and you know, mileage to haul them to a collection site.
Right.
But we want to avoid that step. We want to make it so that things are effective and efficient, so that we aren't having to exert that kind of resources into something that legislatively says is no cost to municipalities.
Well, to help resolve it, I guess, and just moving on down the road, that's, we continue. I mean, we have to do something. The elephant in the room, of course, is that notice that was out there. Today's the deadline, so but that can be extended or whatever.
Yeah.
But as long as we're not paying anything for the hauling and it's still happening, then we can continue and not put an actual end date on it. As soon as we start paying for the hauling, then council will have to reconvene and decide, okay, maybe we can't provide this service anymore. So I guess the question is, do we have to stop it right now?
Yeah.
I mean, we're anticipating the future, I guess, as somebody said earlier at another meeting, but if things are rolling along, we still have haulers and it's still free of charge, then leave it for a few months and we'll see. If they suddenly change the legislation and we start to pay or whatever, then we revisit.
We can put out a short-term notice.
Yeah,
then.
Just a suggestion to try to resolve this tonight, because we could talk back and forth.
No, we can resolve it right now and just take signs down in the morning. You know, it's not easy. So.
And I like Councillor Dulac's suggestion of at the next DPSMA meeting that someone actually from one of these PROs and maybe even from the province who just falls under their under the Circular Economy Act, you know, is there to speak about this so that we know what's going on. Can we provide the service for our residents? Because it's absolutely convenient, you know, they're going to the waste disposal site, and so they're not making a special trip somewhere else, and they can deposit whatever they need to in one trip. So.
Oh, I don't disagree with anything you're saying. It's just
yeah, no.
All right. Well, then we'll, if you want to say we'll continue, then we'll continue. It's that easy.
Well, I don't get council's opinion on it.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
And it is a committee of the whole, so we're opening it up to the public as well, in person and on Zoom. If they have any particular opinions, you can join in. Councilor Zulak.
I just want to say one more thing that District of Parry Sound and meeting in September that they are going to have somebody come. Is that correct, Carly?
Yes.
She's already spoken. She's the Secretary Treasurer for that, and she was trying to arrange to have someone come to speak on tires and things, and she's just confirming.
So it won't be somebody just from those townships. It'll be somebody running the program or aware of it.
Yeah, it's an associate firm that is involved with circular materials and like a consultant, and he's been to multiple meetings with the town of Parry Sound and met with all the operations managers throughout all the West Parry Sound municipalities. He's very well versed in all of the legislation and has like 20 years plus experience. So we're excited to have him at the meeting.
Okay, so it doesn't sound like this particular representative or person has any conflict coming. It's just a general, like, this person doesn't do the hauling. It just talks about the program. So, okay. Anybody from the public again that wants to speak to this? So what's your proposal to let people know? You say signs are up, so...
Signs are down.
They're down?
Well, we can make
them
down.
They can be down, okay.
You know, it's that easy. It's just, I had to make a move on it because we're either going to do it or we're not.
Right.
So we're not. That's fine, but we had to do something.
And the pile that's there, it's being removed?
Yeah, it'll be probably by 1st of September. He figured 3 more weeks, and that was, this week, so.
Okay. And did you see an uptick in the last little while?
Oh, yeah, a little bit, yeah. Which is good. What's wrong with that? As long as it gets rid of everybody, mosquitoes in the back of their yard.
Okay. So
okay.
I guess we don't have to. There might be a couple of minor adjustments to the transfer station bylaw, but that was going to be a major change with tires taken out of there. But it looks like they're staying. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Resolution 23-516, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haslam. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Taunton McKellar hereby arise and report from Committee of the Whole at 7:22 p.m. and reconvene into regular session. Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Resolution 23-71. How do we get up that high?
Shouldn't it be 5:17?
Yeah. I'm putting the time down again.
Resolution 23-517, moved by Councilman Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of July 18th, 2023. Regular meeting of council and the July 21st, 2023 special closed meeting of council that's circulated. Any discussion, amendments to those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Planning matter 15.1. We have resolution 23-518, moved by Councillor Haskell, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report PLN 2023-01, road allowance closure support in principle for Bracken, from Deputy Clerk Planning Assistant Carly Britton. And further, the Council does hereby approve the request in principle to stop up, close, and sell part of the original road allowance between Concession 9, Part Lot 1, and Concession 5, Part Lot 35. And further, direct staff to proceed with an application subject to bylaw 2011-24 as amended. And further, to collectively work with the municipality of McDougal to share costs where possible, including but not limited to advertising, ordering of an appraisal for the market value of each portion of road allowance, and legal fees. Discussion? Maybe just some background information on this. Carly, put it out to the public so we're aware of what's going on.
So the Brackens have a unique property on 185 Herdville Road. Part of their property, they own two parcels. Part is in McKellar and part is in McDougal. There's a road allowance that runs in between two of the properties. Obviously, it's a municipal boundary, so part of the road allowance is owned by McKellar and part owned by McDougal. Their residence sits on the McDougal side, but they are also encroaching on the McDougal road allowance with part of their home. They are encroaching on the McKellar road allowance with their septic field that services this home in McDougal, and there's also a decommissioned well. So the Brackens are wanting to, they submitted a planning application with McDougal, and McDougal contacted us as well to ensure that if the road allowance in McDougal was sold, that McKellar would also sell the road allowance on our side, just to make everything better, because it's quite a messy property currently. And then because we were both doing road closures at the same time, there is a cost sharing that could occur. I've spoke with Lori West, the clerk at McDougal, and they are in favor of sharing costs where applicable, so we can do advertising together to share the cost there. We can do a appraisal together, but it's important to note that the appraiser should appraise the road allowances separately, so each municipality knows what the value is, so we can write that in our bylaw for the consideration amount. And then as well, both municipalities could partner with a solicitor to do the registration, and then the Brackens obviously would have their own solicitor representing them. So there's some cost sharing opportunities here. It is in the good faith of the municipality just to clean up some of these properties. The house was built 110 years ago, so we didn't have the technology to know where property lines were, so that's where some of the, that's why this happened.
Okay, any questions from council? I had a couple. I think they were answered already through the correspondence you presented to us, but in our official plan, we always try to maintain road allowances leading to water, and this one leads to water. But I think on one of the plans you showed us that there are other accesses to water in different locations.
That's correct. There's other access points to the lake, and McDougal also has the same policy in their official plan, so that was their argument as well. You are closing a road allowance that's leading to water, but there's other access points on the lake, on the McDougal and the McKellar side.
Okay. You had mentioned as well that it's already been surveyed. Is there any potential for a future surveying? Because I notice it's not in the list of sharing costs. I'm not sure what would be involved, but...
Yes, if a survey, if both McDougal and McKellar councils wanted a survey redone or the survey reviewed, that that could be a cost sharing as well.
So that could be added to the resolution just
correct
to cover all the costs?
Yes.
Okay. The other question, I don't want to put you on the spot here because I'm sure we don't have the answer, but... do we know if the township actually owns the Herdville Road now that moves up to the north of this? Because in a sense, what's happening here is stop up, close, and sell, which we've already gone through a couple of times with other properties. I just want to make sure that, and I know it's a traveled road, I'm sure, but a lot of these roads we don't actually have in the township name. And I won't ask you right at this moment to try to prove that the township actually has a deed for that road. But But that was just a concern that, and I can't see any problem necessarily with that.
This is a support in principle resolution, so it's basically just council saying that they support this in principle. If things were to go awry, say that we, for some reason, didn't own Herdville Road, then, you know, there could be a stop to the closure. Obviously, title searches would be completed during the process. But again, this is just a support in principle. It's not, we're not formally entering into the road closure application yet. We're doing all this preliminary work for the applicant to be set up to apply for a road closure.
Councillor Keckner?
I think that's a good point, Dave, Mayor Moore. particularly that in some consent agreements we have that the applicant deed, 33 feet from the center portion if they own that portion of the road. So I think that this is a good opportunity to maybe even consider that.
One other question. Oh, you say cost sharing. Did they give a percentage? I mean, we worked with McDougal before. Is it a 50-50 in the idea, or?
50-50 in principle, but obviously if one township was being favored in a specific service, then we would have to look at that and figure out a appropriate percentage.
Okay. So all we've added to this is at the very end and survey costs. I mean, if they are required at any point, along with the appraisal and legal fees and advertising. Any further discussion on this one? Oh, do you want to listen to the public? This is one of the owners, I take it? Is that okay for council? It's not usual, but...
Oh, no, what I do.
Go ahead.
I don't know what to say about this, other than the fact that we've owned this property. It'll be 18 years in October. We had no idea, no idea, that a road allowance was going through our property. And it was absolutely shocking to us that the way we found out was to apply for a building permit to do something to the property. And Lori West told us that she was going to deny or recommend that the application be denied because we didn't own the land that we were hoping to build this new room, expand this room on, which blew us away. And she said, not only that, now that you know this, you can never sell that property. So you don't own it, and you can't sell what you think you owned, the rest of it, because this road allowance is running through it. So, you know, this is...
So after you picked yourself up off the floor, yes.
Yeah, like really, it was, oh my God, like quite frankly, thank God we applied for a building permit. Can you imagine if my husband or I had both passed away in some horrific accident and our kids would have to deal with this? Because, you know, a house is one of the biggest pieces of your investment for, you know, wills and estates and stuff like that. So it was shocking for us. Like, for several weeks we were traumatized. I think that's fair. So we're kind of hoping that the two municipalities can work together and help us own our property, which we thought we have owned for 18 years.
If it was any consolation, we have worked together in the past and worked together well, so I'm glad there is a possible solution here to your situation.
So are we. I guarantee you we're very pleased about the possibility that this can be resolved.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Any further questions from council?
Okay.
So I've read the resolution then. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-519, moved by Councillor Keckinen, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation, Township of Keller, does hereby receive report plan PLN-2023-02, the road non-disclosure support and principal, Snurnitzen, from Deputy Clerk Planning Assistant Carly Britton, and further, the Council does hereby approve the request in principle to stop up, close, and sell part of the original road allowance on Fox Farm Road as requested by Andrew Snurnitzen, subject to the following conditions. Number one, the registered owner of concession 9, lot 25, be notified by mail of the proposed road closure immediately. Two, the right-of-way, part 4, registered plan 42R-18470, be extended and registered, continuing to grant access to concession 9, lot 25. Three, the survey be completed at the expense of the applicant before the public meeting is held. And four, the survey and a site plan, including total lot area, be submitted to the chief building official to verify that a dwelling may be constructed on part of the lot with or without the requirement for a minor variance application. Open this up for Carly, first of all, maybe give us some background.
This is another unique property on Fox Farm Road. The property is unique in that Fox Farm Road crosses the parcel in two places, and there's also a right of way through the property accessing concession 9, lot 25. The property owner approached the township's building department wanting to build a dwelling on the property. After further investigation, we saw the issues with the property. And we were trying to find ways to rectify the situation. The applicant approached the township then with the wish to purchase the road allowance abutting the property so that he could enlarge his parcel so that he could possibly build a dwelling. With this file, there's more questions than answers, and staff are looking for answers, and a survey would be very helpful in determining where Fox Farm Road crosses this property. The applicant was asked to provide a survey if completed during the registration of the property, and he said that there was none. All that was given was this registered plan. We need to determine if it is accurate, if it is up to date, so a survey would do that, and we just need some answers before we proceed with any road closure, just to ensure that we are receiving the right information and giving the right information to the public.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from council? Well, maybe start us off with the, whenever you close a road allowance, of course, you need some type of alternative, and the alternative in this case is a private road. That concerns me a little bit because part of that road allowance in there is being used as a public road, then it veers off onto a private road, then comes back onto a public road. So this road allowance, if you follow it right through, is Fox Farm Road Allowance. It actually carries right through to Lake Manitowoc, to the Narrows, the river that was up through, because it takes a sharp left and at the 90 degree and goes east right out. So this is all part of the road allowance. I'm not sure why it was surveyed that way in the first place, but it didn't continue straight down into Manitowoc. It veered off to the left, and it connects with the road that comes in from the Camp Manitou, nearby there anyway, in Cardinal Court. It comes right across there. So effectively, if we close off this road allowance, this is a road allowance leading to water. That's a concern. There are a lot of cottages in there. Now they're accessing, I assume they're part of the agreement that was done when that whole area was developed. There was an agreement people had to sign on. I think there were 20, 25 people that had to sign. My concern is at some point that if this private road stays private and somebody wanted to use some of the road allowance, that would be private too. It's not even available to them to use. So it's a concern I have with people in further. And always a possibility, too, if this private road is going to be expanded and taken over eventually by the township, we might need more room, but suddenly there is no room because it's all privately owned. Anyway, just my thoughts moving up. I think there are a lot of answers we need yet, but I'll leave it to council first and then. Okay, we have a member of the audience. If council is agreeable. We'll need your name first so we can.
Okay, I'm Paul Ferguson. I'm a member part of the Fox Farm Road Association. Okay, I'm fairly new. I got involved 15 years ago when it first got going. Okay, and this piece of property that they want to make into, they want to purchase the road allowance. First of all, this piece of property has come and gone two or three different times because people come by, they find out there's 23 feet of shoreline. There's not even enough room to put a dock in, so the piece of property isn't really worth a great deal of money. Now, if they want to expand it and buy the road allowance, I don't think you can't buy the road allowance. You can buy the road allowance, but we still have to have the right of way across some private land. I mean, that only makes regular sense. But my question is, thinking out loud here, but I'm brand new at this. Why would you even, this piece of property has been worthless for years. People have bought it for $12,000. They've found out it's been useless. They come by and talk to us, and we said, well, you can't do anything with it. They park. The people that park there, that's been a problem when they try and investigate it because it goes straight down. And people have almost hit that because you go down that hill and right back up, and there's no room for anybody to do anything. If they wanted to cross the road and go swimming, they got to go down a cliff that's about 35 feet. And that. We, as a private road, someday might want to make it a public road and have the township service it. But that is hundreds of thousands of dollars because it's too narrow in certain spots, and we don't see that in the near future, but that should be left open. And my question is, would that piece of property, I was told, was advertised, it's owned by the township of Keller presently, piece of property?
The road allowance is.
Anyway, it shouldn't be allowed to be advertised as waterfront access because there's nothing there. Anyway.
Well, I don't think the township's involved in in any of that, the advertising or the ownership of that piece of property. So it's just the road allowance that the township owns.
Anyway, I'm just saying that it's just we're just concerned about it. We have as many concerns as you do about the whole thing, and we'll all continue to get associated with it. There's only like 30 feet on the water. If they want to build something on the far side of it, where they're going to put that driveway, I have no idea, because it goes down and up, and it's a total, if it's a private road, I guess that's our responsibility to make it safe. Is that correct? If the road allowance is purchased.
If the road allowance is purchased, it sounds to me like that road allowance would be going into this person's name, not yours. So it'd be...
Right, but if we have access to that road, then we have to make the road safe.
But I don't think you'll have access over this private piece of road that this person wants to purchase.
That's fine.
You'll only have access over the private road that you have now.
Well, that's fine. I don't care, but I'm just saying, for that person to come onto our road, that makes it unsafe. Anyway, we're just new at this. This isn't a slam dunk that we passed today or sold it at this point in time at all. Surveys have to be done. Keep us informed about it. I think Leslie Chester is the president of our association, and she keeps us all informed. But this place has come and gone two or three times, and to purchase the road allowance, the guy might just want to. He's purchasing that road allowance to make it a big enough piece of property to put a building on it over there. And it would be a great view, but there's no water access at all. Or should, where there shouldn't be. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, on behalf of the Fox Farm Road Association, those are our major concerns.